Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who've supported me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So a thank you to the following: Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., and Infamous Fridge for supporting me. If you'd like to help support the channel and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. Today's episode of the podcast is another in the Guild Talks series, where I bring amazing community members on to talk about the various two-color pairings in Magic the Gathering. I've done most of the guild pairings already in this series, but I have a couple more to get done, so let's get the Simic Combine going. In order to talk about the blue and green color pairing, I have a new guest coming here to the show, and introduce Nick, aka G3, from the MTG Lexicon server. Welcome to the show.
Howdy. Thanks for having me. And I recognized a lot of the names on your patron list. That's quite the feat.
Yeah, there are a lot of great people. So again, thank you. Thank you, everybody who supports me over at Patreon. It really is appreciated. And thanks for being awesome. All right. So, Nick, again, like I just mentioned, we're talking about the Simic Combine. And for those who have kind of been living under a rock for a while, this is the blue and green color pairing, most often nowadays, at least, known for just busted mana value commanders, really powerful, a lot of CEDH strategies, you know, Thrasios, Tatiova, I don't know, just a ton of different really, really, really busted, really good commanders. And, Simic is kind of one of those really divisive color combinations, I feel like, these days. You kind of love them, or you hate them, or maybe you're kind of in the middle. I don't know. But, yeah, since you agreed to talk with me about this today, let's get started on how you first got into playing the blue-green color pairing.
Yeah, so with my history in Simic, I was gifted a deck from my friend who we became friends through Magic. He was new to town, and the first night he was at a local game store, I happened to be there, and I normally don't go to LGSs, and bonded over Magic, started playing Commander one-on-one, and that winter we gifted each other a Commander deck. So he gifted me his Krufix God of Horizons deck, and it was a Eldrazi-themed deck, just a big Eldrazi ramp deck, and that kind of... I liked it because I could cast a couple Titans, but for me I kind of wanted to take Krufix elsewhere and do stuff with the mana other than drop big creatures. So I kind of just didn't touch the deck for a while. But Simic never really inspired me back then, because this was back in like 2015, and back then there were like three options. It was Experiment Kraj, it was Mormor Vig, and it was Krufix. And then the C15 Commander Precon came out with Azuri, and I think Prime Speaker Zagana came out in that deck. Is that alternate commander? I think so. So I bought that Precon, and that was one of the only Precons I had bought back then, because I was a broke college student. But I didn't end up building that deck, and Simic kind of eluded me for a while after that, but the Krufix deck is something I did play every once in a while, just because it was fun dropping the big old Eldrazi.
Yeah, definitely. I actually have a Krufix deck in my regular play group. We don't see it often, but when that thing comes down, it hits like a hammer. So I understand the pain of being run over by Giant Eldrazi, but I can also understand the thrill of being able to play Giant Eldrazi too. But yeah, it also does make sense to kind of branch out a little bit and just see what else the color pairing has to offer too.
Yeah. So after that, the first Simic deck I actually built myself was a Kumena Tyrant of Orozca Merfolk build, and that really spoke to me as soon as the set got spoiled, and I was like, oh, like I don't have a blue-green deck, and it's a tribe that I hadn't built yet, so I'll build this. And that's actually one more my more powerful decks in my repertoire, just because I built it pretty, not ultra-fast, but it's got some answers in the form of counterspells. Counterspell is a minor theme in the deck, and that's not something I typically do in my build style. So the reactive nature of the deck, plus the kind of overwhelming nature of getting a bunch of low-cost merfolk on the field and then pumping them with plus one counters or lord effects, just turned it into a formidable deck. Something that's a little bit on the stronger side for what I typically build and play.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that it's pretty tight in there. You have the really good synergies, the fact you can tap your merfolk to draw cards, put plus one counters, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, just merfolk are a good tribe for a reason. Makes sense.
Yeah, they're like wet elves.
I guess, yeah. That is a very apt way to describe merfolk, I suppose. Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about how you started playing Simic, I'm going to ask the kind of a good follow-up question here is, where are you now with this color pairing? And I'll have you answer, and then I'll answer where I am currently with this color pairing, just with the one Simic deck that I have.
Cool. Yeah, the color pairing is kind of notorious, or at least it had been for a while. I mean, it especially with the release of Thrasios, it kind of just shaped the opinion of the commander public at large, where it's like, oh, this is, you know, a value engine. And then like Tatiovo came out and it rewards you for playing lands and you draw a bunch of cards. And then Prime Speaker Vanifar is kind of a birthing pod on a stick. And then Uro Titan of Nature's Wrath is just kind of a big chunky value engine that more so a threat in standard. There's other stuff like let's see, AC was kind of a bigger version of Landfall. So there's kind of just this common theme of like plus one counters or getting value from lands that kind of was a through line for the longest time. But over the past year, it looks like they're kind of branching more than they had in the past. And so there's stuff like Lonus, where it's interesting because it's working with unique tokens. There's also Volo, which is interesting. The only thing that really spoke to me wasn't even a specific commander recently, but I had been thinking for a long time about building a Biovisionary deck. And Biovisionary, for those who don't know, is a Simic card that says if you control four creatures named Biovisionary at the end of your turn upkeep.
I think it's the end of the turn, but you might be right. It might be upkeep.
Double checking that right now. At the beginning of the end step, if you control four more creatures named Biovisionary, you win the game. So it's a 3-cost, 2/3 human wizard. All you gotta do is have 4 copies of it on the field, right? And so what happened was with the Strixhaven precon, there were a couple options on how to approach that as a win con. And so I have a pile. I mean, that's often how I build my decks. I have a pile of cards from my collection that I scrounge throughout my various parts of my collection to find pieces that I like. And so right now I have a bunch of clones, a bunch of token copy cards, and things that kind of just recycle your graveyard back into your library or back to your hand, things like that. And so there's a couple options I was thinking of taking it. Either Mariette of the Frost, which is the shapeshifter snow creature from Kaldheim that says it can ETB as a copy of a permanent, except it's legendary in the snow. So copying the Biovisionary was an option. And then I think the way I'm actually going to go with is Essex Fractal Bloom. So that's the not the face commander. That was the secondary commander for the Strixhaven precon. It's a flying 4/4 for 6. It says the first time you would create one or more tokens during each of your turns, you may instead choose a creature you control other than Essex and create that many tokens that are copies of that creature. So I think that's kind of where I'm going with that build, to try and, as much as possible, create tokens to stall until I can either tutor out Biovisionary or just keep a value engine going in my deck by just drawing a bunch of cards or using mana to do other stuff until I can use Essex's ability to copy the Biovisionary and win that turn. And that's a little bit different for a lot of my decks. I tend to build synergistic tribal combat focused builds. That's often my go-to. So a singular win con with a bunch of backup typically isn't my forte. So I'm glad I'm dipping my toes back in the Simic. But I think that speaks to the current state of Simic, that it took a super quirky effect to utilize a very unique win con to actually get me to motivate me to assemble the cards to build this list. So that, you know, maybe that speaks to the color combination. I'm kind of interested in Slow Gurk. I did open one from a few packs, from the limited amount of packs I opened of Midnight Hunt. And Slow Gurk is the new ooze creature from Midnight Hunt. It's a trample 3/3 for 3. Whenever a land card is put into your graveyard from anywhere, put +1/+1 counter on it. Remove 3 +1/+1 counters, and you can return it to your hand. And when it leaves the battlefield, return up to up to 3 target lands from your graveyard to your hand. So I don't know precisely what I'd do with that build, but that, since I pulled one, that often inspires some building in my mind. Whenever, that's often the way I build my decks, is I crack some packs, and whatever's in my collection from thenceforth, I'm always checking and rechecking against my internal lists. I have quite the collection of sleeve decks, plus another, gosh, it's around 50 sleeve decks, plus another 50 piles of various states of builds. So my Essex Biovisionary build is one of my closer to completion builds. So it's something that I gotta cut from maybe 110 cards down to the 65 or so that would be needed. So that's kind of where I'm at with the state of Simic.
Yeah, well, you mentioned a lot of different commanders there. It's, wow. Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. I mean, I know especially out of those ones you listed, Volo has gotten a lot of play recently. I think I played against Tribal once, but yeah, that's an interesting list, because you can effectively throw anything in there and Volo makes it good.
I like the uniqueness factor of that deck. There's a lot of unique builds you can go with it.
Mm-hmm. Just don't, and yeah, and there's just so many interesting different kinds of creature types in green and blue. You can easily just go, I could go through my long box of chaff and find 30, 40 different 30, 40 different creature types included or represented in that pile, and then just throw a boatload of them into the deck, and it still functions fairly well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, I did promise to mention what I have in Simic. Again, this is not... I'm trying not to have this only be about a few creatures. So anyway, I do run, and I did mention this before the show, Nick, I do run a Rashmi Eternity's Crafter deck, which, again, a lot of people do play that as a spell slinger ability, with her ability to be able to hopefully cast lower cost spells off the top of your library whenever you cast a spell for a spell every turn. And I went in a very different direction. I didn't have a green stompy deck, and I figured that would sound like a really awesome way to be able to flip some giant creatures into play. So I have a bunch of like 5 to 7 cost creatures in that deck. I will cast them. It helps. I have some ramp spells, obviously, so I can try to get up to 5, 7 mana, et cetera, et cetera. Drop something fairly large, then hopefully be able to piggyback another giant creature or a big spell off of that, and you know, get some value out of it. I suppose that I could easily slim that deck down if I wanted to, but I just kind of enjoy the idea of playing a giant sea creature and then flipping into a giant beast on my next card, you know, someone
real,
like that.
Real battle cruiser hours.
Yeah, it's totally a Timmy deck, but I love that deck and I don't play it enough, honestly. All right. Again, the last question that I'm going to ask you, Nick, is obviously Simic has a ton of value. We know that those are the two most powerful colors in Magic, honestly, blue and green, in that order, in my opinion. And I guess I was curious to know what your thoughts were on where you'd like to see Simic going forward. Obviously, I ask this of everybody who's a guest on one of these guild talks, and I'm just curious to know if there's any mechanics or any sort of new design space that you think Simic really hasn't gotten into before, but would really benefit or at least interest you in playing in the coming years.
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to this earlier in my kind of diatribe, but some of the more recent designs are actually more inspired than it seemed like they were doing for a while. So Volo, definitely a unique thing where it's you're trying to have a diverse creature base. Lonus with the token aspect and investigate. They're both of the flip the MDFCs from Strixhaven, I think that both of those are interesting, but I don't know how often they're gonna dip back in the MDFC multicolor commander like legendary creatures, so I don't know if that's necessarily a place to look for inspiration, but I like that there's at least with those two cards, with Kiene and Jadzi, both of those have a, you know, two distinct play patterns to take the deck, and I think that in itself presents a lot of interesting deck building challenges. I think some of the token aspects of blue green can be leaned into a little bit more, especially, you know, like I just alluded to a second time, the Volo and Lonus. There's also Gore Moldrak, the Amphinologist. Amphinologist. And so that concept of providing tokens for other players and then having some unique condition on your side, I think that's interesting. And maybe a few more things that are kind of like maybe they flip the script with Simic, where they do something that ramps your opponents but then provides you some kind of alternate value that doesn't look Simic-y in a way. Mm-hmm. So like maybe they haven't explored this in Black Border yet, but creating land tokens. So there's like a potential of creating land tokens for your opponents, but then preventing your opponents from searching their deck for a land or something like that. So there's kind of like this, that kind of blue and green trade-off right there, where you're giving them the land with the green side, and then you're kind of screwing them over with the blue side. So I think a little bit of that I'd be interested to see. You know, it would be annoying if it's a single card that's both a like land-based draw engine that also has counterplay on it. So I would not want to see that. That would be unfun to play against. But something that's more niche, like Gore Moldrak's ability, where you and permanents you control have protection from salamanders. Mm-hmm. And then at the beginning of your end step, each player who controls the fused creatures creates a 4/3 blue salamander creature token. So that kind of, that's more where I'm leaning. I find that would be something to explore in a greater fashion, just because seeing another Simic commander that says whenever you play a land or draw a card or spend a bunch of mana and get free stuff, I have no interest in. There's the +1/+1 counter aspect, which they've tried to switch up recently. I touched upon Slowgurk already. That's like its own semi-value engine, but it's nothing degenerate as the way I see it. And then there's Quandrix, the Elder Dragon, who's rewarding like a very unique build style as far as your creatures go. And then there, you know, the classic of Experiment Kraj, the OG Simic commander. I think kind of touching back on that, if they want to explore +1/+1 counters again or counters in Simic, I think the ability sharing aspect of Simic is very interesting. So maybe if they touch upon the ability counters introduced initially in Ikoria, that was more of an Abzan thing in that set, but the future of Simic could be more multiplicative with ability tokens and distributing them in interesting ways. Or you know, there's some of the original Simic Combine creatures from was that set Dissension?
Mm-hmm.
Dissension.
He did that at Guild Pact. I never remember.
Yeah. And so some of those creatures said like, you know, do such and such with a creature that has a +1/+1 counter on it. And so very easily your commander could be do X, Y, or Z if the creature has an ability counter on it. So I see those two design spaces being the what I would like to see in Simic. So ability counters and kind of the sharing of those abilities in some aspects or rewarding those abilities. And then the first one I touched upon was the kind of uniqueness of the Gore Moldrak. I have no idea how to say that. Gore Moldrak's kind of templating of providing value and then preventing value and kind of having that interplay. I would really like to see kind of this more of a trade-off type thing, because it's very easy to look at the existing lineup of Simic commanders, at least for the way I build decks, and just go, you know, I could play Simic, or I could just do something different by adding another color or make it more difficult by reducing it from two colors to one. You know, that's kind of how I think of it typically, just the way I build.
Yeah, it makes sense that you bring up a lot of those old creatures that original Simic Combine, or at least Return to Ravnica versions, where they did have a lot of +1/+1 counter synergies. And I guess I do agree with you on that, is that we don't necessarily see a lot of those same synergies these days. It's gone to a lot of the do X, draw a card, or, you know, do X, get some sort of value. And I definitely think that's why Simic has gotten so, in some ways, out of hand, and why a lot of people do dislike this color combination, just because it seems like you're able to subvert a lot of the rules of the game just by getting easy value. And it's interesting that you bring up Gore Moldrak. A friend of the show, Bobby Christine, actually has a very interesting Gore Moldrak deck, allowing everybody to have salamanders. It is quite interesting. So a shout out there to someone who has one of those decks. Nice. All right. Well, I think we've wrapped things up here. Again, Nick, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today about Simic. It's been really interesting just hearing your thoughts about this color combination, talk about some of our decks, and just kind of peek into the future and just see what seemed to be pretty cool going forward in this color combination in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for less value engines.
All right. And at the beginning of the show, I actually forgot to ask you where people can find the MTG Lexicon if they're interested.
Heck yeah. There's two aspects of MTG Lexicon. There's the stream and there's the Discord community. The Discord community's been growing over the last couple of years, and it's a semi-regular place to find webcam commander games. We got some lovely folks, and we've tried to build out a welcoming community. You can find a Discord invite on MTG Lexicon's Twitter page. Actually, we have a bit.ly link. So if you do bit.ly, oh no, sorry, Linktree. Oh my gosh, I'm all over the place here. Linktr.ee/MTGLEXICON. There's a Discord invite right there. And so you can jam some games in our Discord server. And then you can also click that first link, which is our Twitch. We play casual physical games of Commander every Saturday night. We are one of the longest continuously running gameplay channels. We're coming up on our 6th anniversary in about a month, which is kind of wild. We obviously don't have the same clout as some of the bigger names out there, but we started our gameplay around the same time as game nights, but they obviously obviously have a great, much larger production value. But we've tried to make a laid back, we're like your group of friends that you can hang out with on a Saturday night, and if drinking is your thing, and have a brewski with us, and come hang out and chat, and come say hi.
All right, definitely sounds good. And if you're interested in hearing any of the previous Guild Talk series or any of the back catalog of the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and a whole lot more that I never remember. But if you're listening to this right now, you probably can find it on most podcast outlets out there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. If you find the very happy-looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones, you've found the right place. And I'd like to take this opportunity to give another huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another huge shout-out and thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., and Infamous Fridge for supporting me. If you'd like to help support the channel and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And I'd like to thank you very much for listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.